From the interim director, employee benefits, requesting authorization to execute a one-year renewal of the MetLife contract for basic and supplemental life insurance. This item was also referred to the Committee on Finance and Audit, who approved it by a vote of 6-0.
Thank you. Mr. Hanchick.
Chairman, Supervisors, I'm Matt Hanchick, Interim Director of Employee Benefits. The item before you is basically the result of us reaching the end of a multi-year contract with MetLife. We were under a three-year agreement with a rate freeze. It was actually our second consecutive three-year agreement with a rate freeze. And it also included an evergreen clause in it, which basically allowed for an automatic renewal of the contract, assuming no change in terms. Unfortunately, the performance of this plan hasn't allowed for that type of clause to be exercised. The proposal in front of you is a 10.3% increase on the current rates. There is some rationale for it, and it's frankly not something that we're surprised by at all. If anything, it's more favorable than we were anticipating. In the budget heading into this year, we anticipated a 20% increase on the cost of delivering this benefit for employees. And that's based largely off of the loss ratios that we've seen under the plan. In typical years, we've seen around 106 to 108% loss ratio on it, which basically means that MetLife was paying out about 8% more in claims than they were receiving in premium dollars from us. By typical underwriting standards, they would have been justified seeking a fairly substantial increase in this, certainly in the neighborhood of what we anticipated in the budget. We did have some positive news in the end of 2010 heading into 2011. We saw that loss ratio creep a little bit closer to 100%. As a result of that, we basically pressed the issue, waiting as long as we possibly could for a renewal to see if we could get a more favorable data set and possibly shave a few more points off of this renewal. Unfortunately, our experience stayed roughly the same. There's some underlying reasons for the experience and the performance being so bad. Effectively, what this plan offers is a retiree life insurance benefit at no cost to the retiree. Under that scenario, almost every retiree retains that benefit all the way until the point where a death claim would be filed. It's effectively 100% certainty of loss. Now, when you have that type of benefit, the cost of it spread across active employees, and you have a shrinking active employee population that's lower cost, lower risk, it basically raises the per unit across the board, and that's part of what we're seeing in this renewal. Typically, supervisors, when I'd see a rate renewal like this, I would be advocating for us to go to RFP rather than renew. But unfortunately, until we address some of these structural issues in the plan, the competitive RFP process really isn't going to yield very favorable results. The numbers are what they are, and the experience is basically what it will be for any carrier. What this effectively does is ask us for a one-year renewal to allow time to look at some of these structural issues, to work with the benefits work group, to look at alternative financing methods for it, different ways of delivering the retiree benefit that may allow us to basically get an overall more stable rate. For that reason, I am recommending approval of the one-year contract.
Supervisor Borkowski.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to make the motion for approval, but I guess, Mr. Hanchick, I wanted to make sure that I understood what I thought I heard. So one of the retiree benefits is this forever life insurance that their heirs are going to, I mean, because eventually the heirs would get it because nobody lives forever. But are you saying that all the retirees have this?
Mr. Chairman, supervisors, similar to the health insurance benefit that retirees are afforded, and this varies a bit by union, employees hired prior to 1994 and with 15 years of service are entitled to the life insurance coverage at no cost out of pocket. There is some age reduction to it that mitigates the risk somewhat. At age 65, the benefit begins to taper off, but effectively nearly every county retiree basically, every county retiree who qualified for retiree medical also has this life insurance policy guaranteed to them with at least some payment at the point of their death.
Supervisor Schmidt.
We just briefly mentioned this yesterday, and I guess I'll just mention it today, just a reality of things. And, you know, I will vote to concur, obviously, with what we did yesterday in finance. And, you know, when you hear terms like 20% they budgeted, or, you know, it went up 10%, so this is a situation that we faced for a long time. And just realization, the constant pressure on us as current employees and all our employees is because, you know, the reality of it is that we have many more retirees than we have active members, and that a good portion of them have these wonderful benefits, and we're in no position, nor do we want to take away benefits that anybody has received. They were benefits when they worked. That's what they retired at. You know, legally, we can't change most of that anyway also, nor, I think, has anyone pushed to do that, of course. But it is a burden, so we ask retirees to put in a little bit. It's been a difficult situation in the budgets we've had. Our budgets the last 2 years have been dominated by employee givebacks, without question, all of us. And the reality is what we see out there, so we're anxious to see to try to do as best as we can, because we're all paying for it. And as we continually go down in number of active employees, it puts greater pressure in the needs for those who are still working with the county to pay more. And indeed, you know, help mitigating this extra charge to the county is the fact that all employees are putting substantially more money in now for their health insurance than they did before. And you can certainly argue that's needed to be done, but that's the reality of things too. So I have more than a casual interest in representing many constituents who work for the county as well, that we do the best we can in those situations. Thank you.
Thank you, Supervisor.
Mr. Chairman, if I could just add one more comment. Mr. Session correctly pointed out to me that I failed to address the financial impact for you. In my prior statements, I'd like to take a brief moment to add that in. The net effect of the increase of 10.34% would be an increase in expenditures on this benefit over last year of roughly $265,000. This will vary with changes in employee salary and number of employees and vacancies, offset by about $40,000 of additional revenue from their share of the increased premium, leading to a net cost of $225,000. However, this is offset, well, this is basically a, while it's an increase in expenditure, it creates a surplus in budget because we did budget it at a 20% increase. So at this rate, I would expect to have about a $200,000 surplus on the life insurance line item. That does not, however, mean that we would necessarily have a surplus in the overall fringe benefits budget. It's just basically this one line item of overall fringe benefits.
Thank you. Supervisor Rice?
What's the maximum coverage under the policy?
Chairman, supervisors, the coverage is based on your annual salary, so it's one times your final annual salary. And then the reduction begins at age 65. Basically, it reduces 8% of the benefit per year until you turn age 70. At age 70, it reduces one final time to 25% of the original benefit. This varies both the age starting point and the reduction schedule and how quickly it reduced. It does vary by labor contract. So there's some variance there that we've never adjusted. But effectively, that's it for the overwhelming majority of employees and retirees.
Thank you. And then could you just clarify in your memo the second paragraph, the last sentence? Reads the second last two last sentences. As a result, MetLife has proposed a one-year renewal with a 10.34% increase to basic life. The proposal does not change the rates for basic life.
Chairman, supervisors, I apologize. That is a typo. This contract also encompasses the voluntary supplemental life products. Employees have the ability at their own cost to purchase additional life insurance on flat dollar amounts, I believe up to $300,000. I'd have to check that number. And they have the ability to purchase spouse and child life insurance as well. The county does not pay anything towards those products. Okay. It's just something that we negotiate a rate on behalf of the employees. And with the proposed renewal, Met would not be changing any of those rates.
Those are just for active?
Correct. Yep. Those are active-only benefits.
Thank you. That's all.
Okay. I had a couple of questions. Do you have an idea of what the population census is in this program, an active versus retiree?
Chairman, Supervisors, I don't have the exact counts in front of me, but we're basically at roughly around 4,000 active employees versus a retiree population closer to 7,000. I may be a little bit off on that count. I believe there's about 4,000 post-65 retirees, and I could be a little high on that, but that's ballpark where it's at. It's more than 2-to-1. As far as the percentage of people who are entitled to the paid benefit, it is basically the majority of retirees. It's nearly all of them. However, one thing that we will have to consider as time goes on is that our practice of rating the active population with the retirees and spreading the costs across both groups will create an incentive for people to stay on the retiree policy after the point that they begin paying as well. Basically, their rate will be lowered effectively by folding in the active population. So that's another one of the structural issues to look at.
Yeah, that actually, along those lines, my next question was our overall cost, if I remember right, is around $3 million or so. And I was just wondering how that breaks down to what the retiree portion is versus the active portion of that $3 million.
And, Chairman, if I could answer it a slightly different way as far as the relative costs of each other. If we divided out the rating pool into actives versus retirees, the active rate would probably be somewhere in the order of about 10 cents per thousand, possibly a little bit less, versus $1.20 per thousand for the retired population based on the past contract, not this renewed amount. And the reason for that is we typically see, you know, maybe 1 to 2 active employee death claims every 3 or 4 year contract cycle, as opposed to, granted at a typically higher payout, as opposed to hundreds of death claims on the retiree side every year.
See if I understand. So, younger, healthier, active employees, why would they want to buy the supplementary insurance, the additional, right? It's not competitive with what they would be able to get in the private market. Because of this blending, they're paying, is that what I'm understanding? They're paying. This rate is the blended rate of all, including those who are, you know, a day away from collecting.
Right. Chairman, supervisors, no, that's not correct.
No.
The
okay.
basic life rate, the county-sponsored, is a blended rate. It's one rating pool for the entire group. The supplemental policies that people pay for are tiered based on their age.
Yeah.
So your younger, healthier employee... younger employees, there's no measure of health in this. It's strictly age-rated. Pay a much lower rate per thousand of covered income than someone who's, say, 65. It's the difference between a group-rated and an individually-rated. The supplemental plans are individually-rated, but we leverage the size of the group to secure better rates.
How I'm reading this to that, but thank you.
You're welcome. Just one thing I would maybe suggest that you look at in light of the costs here and the imbalance between the retiree and the actives is, as you look at how we're going to continue this program forward, maybe ways of, whether it's through incentive or whatnot, of trying to get the retirees to maybe buy out of the program or whatnot to lower the cost, because my guess is that the significant amount of cost is going to be eaten up by the retirees, obviously, with the number of them, than the actives. And it's an expensive price tag. You could spend $3 million on other things. And quite frankly, you have actives that are paying a lot more for a benefit because they're carrying the retirees. Okay, we do have a motion by Supervisor Borkowski to concur with finance and audit. Any other questions or comments? Hearing none, we'll have a vote on that motion.
Borkowski.
Aye.
Schmidt.
Aye.
Cesar.
Aye.
Rice.
Aye.
Lipscomb.
Aye.
Haas.
Aye.
Mr. Chair.
Aye.
7 ayes, 0 noes. The motion to concur with the actions of the Committee of Finance and Audit is approved.
Thank you. Item number 13, please.